This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM and AM. Inside the 8 p.m. hour, let's do it. 888-808-1019. I said I wanted to talk Mets a little bit. And, you know, something I said in my open is like, all the back and forth, all the trolling, all the talking about chance and whatnot is corny, man. Now we have real games to talk about. It's one thing when you're passing time, getting ready for America's pastime. It's one thing when you're doing it to drive up the rivalry and excitement. It's another thing, obviously, when there are fans in Citi Field wearing Yankees gear or Mets fans in Yankee Stadium wearing Juan Soto jerseys and trying to get that attention. But as far as like the radio goes, I feel like we don't need it. We don't, you know, we can address it, but there's just so many other things to talk about. If you want to talk about fans, like talk about the Mets fans actually showing up like Steve Cohen asked them to. And showing up in terrible weather, showing up in, you know, the cold and the rain and being there to support the team as the team did rip off five wins to start the homestand. And the team is pitching, the team is hitting, and they're lacking some important pieces. They don't even have their full complement of guys. And guys like Juan Soto are going to have weeks where they're hitting homers every night, and that hasn't happened yet. Pete Alonso looks great, and there were a lot of people doubting Pete and what he would be. He doesn't look like the version of himself last year. You can already put away the slow start for Lindor in April. That's done. Mark Vientos may be in a little bit of a sophomore slump, but again, him and Brett Beatty, they're going to give them time. And before you know it, guys will be back. Hayden Sanger deserves a lot of credit for stepping up. The third string catcher for stepping up. The pitching staff, the rotation, the bullpen. You know, a guy like Max Kranich, who grew up a Mets fan, living an absolute dream, being able to pitch for the Mets, getting an opportunity to wear the Mets hat and go out there and get it done. You know, when I look at the Mets team, what's happening here is the rebrand. What's happening here is the end of the LOL Mets. They are not a joke. Nobody is clowning them. Nobody is laughing at them. They will go toe-to-toe with some better competition, and we'll see. And what's about to happen now is they're going to go on the road again, and they're going to face the Athletics. They'll face Luis Severino, old pal Luis Severino, former Met and Yankee. And Luis Severino might struggle a bit, and I don't think that they'll have any sympathy on him. The Yankees didn't have any sympathy for Nestor Cortez when they saw him. So I think he's going to pitch against the Mets on Sunday. Kodai Senga will get that game. And there's been a lot of talk about where the Sacramento Athletics are playing. What's it called? Is it Sutter Health? Something like that? It doesn't matter the sponsor or the name, but it is a minor league ballpark and runs are being scored there. And when you go there, it feels very much like a minor league ballpark and not like Major League Baseball. 888-808-1019. So I expect the Mets to go in there and continue to win and beat them up. But I wouldn't sleep on the Padres as I'm looking at their scores, right? I wouldn't sleep on the Athletics as I'm looking at their scores from the Padres series. They won their first game yesterday and put up 10 on the Padres. Supposedly a lot of home runs are flying out. So if you're ready to see Juan Soto get going, maybe that happens on the road in Sacktown. 888-808-1019. Limo driver Ed is in Newark on the Fan in New York.
Hey, my brother, how you doing this evening? How you feeling?
Good. Watching this Laker game, kind of queuing up some stuff for later in the night, hour by hour, 5-hour show, you know.
All right. Yeah, I hear you, brother. You're doing a good job. Hey, listen, you know, I called up Evan M, you know, not too long ago, and I was on the phone with him. And I was telling him about Soto. I said, one thing about it is that he's going to get the Mets curse. I said, mid-season, he's going to be batting .270, and I'm going to have about 10 home runs. It always happens. Always. To anybody we could ever get all my years, 61 years old, every time we brought a free agent over.
Soto is kind of above curses and things. Soto is Soto. I don't know. He's done it everywhere he's been. Like, there could be a Nationals curse or a Padres curse. I don't know.
I tell you, the Mets got it, too. I'm going to tell you right now, they got it. I'm telling you. And another thing is, too, even now, look, he done woke up the bear. I mean, Pete's like looking at him saying, you done paid him what? And I can't even sniff $10.
Great.
And I tell you one thing I even said, too, that Pete got a better slugging percentage. I mean, yeah, everybody's talking about, well, you know, Soto gets you on the base. Well, he's walking. Right now, he looks like he's uncomfortable at the plate. His helmet don't stay on his head, and he's just swinging it wild. I don't know, but listen, you done paid this man all this money. Within a couple of weeks, they're going to be booing him. What? Mark my word.
No. Thanks for the call, Ed. No. Soto was boo-proof last year. Granted, he had Aaron Judge hitting behind him. It's tough, you know, as we're talking about Devin Williams making the transition to being a Yankee, and he's a new father, and, you know, he didn't pitch that much in spring training, and then the start to his season was interrupted by paternity leave. Like, with Juan Soto, I feel like being this money man, he's going to be fine, but it's a little bit of an adjustment. It's one thing when you were chasing the bag. It's another thing when you got the bag and you're expected every single at-bat to post. And if you don't, oh, you're a waste of money, you're overpaid, you're overrated. He is getting on. He has driven in some runs. He's not a bum. Juan Soto will never be a bum. And you have 15 years of him. So, I don't know if limo driver Ed is a Mets fan. I think he is. But I don't know how you could expect two things. One, a Juan Soto curse, or a Mets curse that affects Juan Soto, where he, you know, only has 10 home runs after the All-Star break, or, you know, his batting average isn't there. I just don't see that. I think he's kind of curse-proof. And then also boos. I don't think they're going there to boo. The fans at Citi Field are chanting the pitch clock. All you hear is, let's go Mets. They're excited. They're fired up. They're chanting Pete Alonso's name. They're chanting Juan Soto's name. They're not booing. We did see some stuff, and I wanted to speak on this only because I didn't like the way that a certain someone phrased it. After the walk-off Saturday, or was it Sunday? I got to go back to my notes. There was some trash thrown onto the field in Queens, in Citi Field. And that shouldn't happen at any professional sports game. I don't care if it's an NBA court where we've seen popcorn and bottles thrown. We've seen it obviously happen in the Bronx. If you remember, I was actually at the series. It was the Guardians versus the Yankees in 2022, I believe. And, you know, Miles Straw was trying to climb up the fence in left field. They were calling him Spider-Man. You know, the fans were kind of going at it with them. And then when Glaber had that hit and you know, they walked it off, you know, the people that were sitting in like 103, 102 threw beer cans onto the field. It's a terrible look. I was mad about it because they tried to say the Bleacher Creatures did it. And I'm like, from the Bleacher Creatures I know, none of them would do that because none of them would want to be banned from the stadium and not be able to go to the games. The people that do that are people that are like, ah, oh, this is my one game, I'm drunk. If something happens, if I get kicked out, if I get banned in camp, come back, so what? I don't care about the team. I don't care about the ballpark. If you care about your team and you care about your ballpark, never throw anything on the field. Never run on the field. We saw that at Citi Field. This is New York. There is all kinds of everything. But I did get an article sent to me from one of the creatures that was on the 7 line where Darren Meenan wrote, you know, this isn't the Bronx. Don't do this, Mets fans. And then a whole article about, you know, the trash being thrown onto the field. Queens is no better than the Bronx. Mets fans are no better than Yankee fans. And you can't lump everybody in. Just be better. Everybody just be better. The behavior's got to be better in the ballparks. We are blessed to have superstar talent. We are blessed to have high payrolls and good teams and good ballparks. Like, we have two teams in Major League Baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays are playing in George M. Steinbrenner Field. The Oakland A's fans, I don't know if they're driving all the way to Sacramento to see their team play in a minor league ballpark. We have great stadiums and ballparks. There are people that have to clean those things up. There are people that have to go on the field and pick up that garbage. Like, just be better. I don't care how many beers you had. To throw a beer on the field is despicable. It's just like, if you see somebody doing that, check them. If you see somebody even raising their hand to throw something on the field, stop it. So what I'm saying is it looks bad no matter where it is in the country. But that, what happened in Citi Field over the weekend, has nothing to do with the Yankees and nothing to do with the Bronx. Again, we got to go back to our corners. Just stop the nonsense with big brother, little brother, this rivalry. It'll be back on when we get to the Subway Series in May. But that definitely rubbed me the wrong way to see an article written by the 7 line. And I'm sure this will get back to Darren. Darren, text me. Check your text. I text you to come on the Fan not too long ago. I'm sure you don't want to be on the Fan with me. But, I thought it was whack to try and say, this isn't the Bronx. You're no better than the Bronx. Clearly, we haven't done that in the Bronx in years, but they're throwing stuff on the field in Queens. Everybody in New York, be better fans. Because you know what? They will say, we have trash fans in New York, whether it's Queens, whether it's the Bronx, whether it's a fan spitting on Trae Young in the Garden. Like, we gotta do better as fans and police other fans. 888-808-1019. Let's go to George in Manasquan. You're in there, George.
Hello. This is my second time calling. First of all, we miss Soto as Yankee fans, but my second favorite team is the Mets. And he will hit your 30 home runs. He will drive in 100 runs. He will be good for year after year. And Yankee fans, like myself, miss him terribly. And your previous program had on about relievers, about Mariano Rivera. When he blew the World Series, we did not boo him. You know, he blew a ninth inning save in the World Series. And we knew he was great, so we did not boo him or throw anything. And believe me, Met fans, hang in there with Juan Soto. Hang in there. He will hit his 30 home runs. He will drive in 100. He will bat at least 280, 290. The guy is fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. So
thanks for the call, George. you can't boo. I mean, maybe if you're on the road in Arizona, you could have booed Mariano. That game wasn't in Yankee Stadium, so you wouldn't have been able to hear the fans boo. And you gotta speak for yourself. I don't know too many Yankee fans that are missing Juan Soto right now, missing him dearly or missing him, like, however you phrased it. What is there to miss? Look at his numbers right now. They were putting his numbers side by side with Trent Grisham a couple days ago. Speak for yourself. Wait, you missed the shuffle? You miss his base running? You miss, like, I don't know what like you miss. It wasn't like Soto was power. Like, you have Aaron Judge. I was saying, when they start chanting F. Juan Soto, I'm going to say, we have Judge, F. Juan Soto. We have Judge. What is there to miss? It's 1 year. The memory of Juan Soto is evaporating. You know what? My Time Hop app, I don't know if you guys have Time Hop. It's a good app, especially if you do content creation, social media like I do. You know, you can add your Instagram, your Twitter, you can add your camera roll, and every day, it'll take you back years. So every day I'm getting the videos that I was taking in Yankee Stadium last year of the generational Juan Soto. And I'm deleting them. I'm clearing them from my phone. I don't need those anymore. I'm like, it never happened. I'm not missing Juan Soto, watching Ben Rice, Paul Goldschmidt, watching Trent Grisham, Volpe. Didn't even say Judge yet. They've got plenty of guys that can hit. And their defense is better. Juan Soto is a great player. Juan Soto is one of the best players in baseball. Would I have liked Juan Soto to sign? Yeah. But if you sign Juan Soto, you don't have Max Fried today. You sign Juan Soto, you do not have Max Fried today. What would this rotation look like? Who would be pitching? You're swept today. Rich is in West Milford on the Fan. What's up, Rich?
How you doing today, Nick Keith?
I'm good. Watching this Lakers game and, looking at some different things.
Very cool. I just want to give you a little background. I'm an original Bleacher creature from back in the 80s when Mattingly played. And when there was a guy called Ali, who was the original cowbell guy.
Right. Ali Ramirez. Rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely. We used to work for Otis Elevator when Big Bob was there, and Tina was a neophyte at that point. Jesse Barfield was the victim at that point back in the day. But we used to get pizzas delivered from the local pizza place in the back of the Cop $5, and used to get pizzas delivered. But anyway, that's
I've heard the stories of the times. It's way before my time. I don't even know if I was.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know that.
I wasn't potty trained. I wasn't reading yet.
Yeah, well, that's all right. That's good. But at least you know the history. I'm glad to hear that. And what's today's date? 4/9, right? That's the first week, maybe into the second week of April, correct?
Yeah, tomorrow will be 2 weeks since opening day.
And you got to give this guy, Devin Williams, a break, for Christ's sake.
I
mean, come on now. He just had a baby. He went to Detroit with 30-degree weather. And I don't care about that. I mean, the weather is not a big thing. I mean, everybody does that. But, I mean, give him a break. The guy's unbelievable. And these guys are going off left and right on him. It's wait till, you know, in another week or two when the weather breaks, you watch.
Yeah.
You watch half this team go off. And I believe that. And if you don't, then people aren't seeing what they should see. That's all I got to tell you, Keith, really. Oh, yeah, also, Grand Rapids Master Millie Mill used to be in the bleachers, too. He used to do Stevie Wonder in the 7th inning stretch.
Wow.
That used to be one of the best things
ever. I wish there were cameras. I wish there were 4K cameras back then. Thanks for the call, Rich. 888-808-1019. We still got to get that Tribe Called Quest on the rejoin for Gary and Waterbury. But, yeah, we're in the second week of the season. We're going to quit on a potential closer that could, like, nah, I'm not. That's an overreaction. It's a complete overreaction. And this is what we do, though. He hasn't been good yet. You know, Adam Ottavino, and shout out to Adam Ottavino. Adam Ottavino is a great baseball person. You know, this guy said he could strike out Babe Ruth. This guy has bounced around. He's a New Yorker, grew up a Yankee fan, has pitched for the Yankees, pitched for the Mets. The Yankees pick him up, drop him, pick him up, drop him. The Yankees drop him. He's on foul territory today. I didn't get to watch the episode, but I laughed when my guy's over there, Scott Braun. I've been on that podcast like 4 or 5 times. When they promoted it, that Adam Ottavino's jumping on the pod. And, you know, he is such a... I've seen him on SNY. I've seen him on so many things. I just saw him. Shout out to Jun Lee, who used to work for ESPN, and now he's doing YouTube stuff, and he just had a great video on his YouTube channel talking about getting let go from ESPN and what that did. But, you know, he did some interviews with Adam Ottavino, and Adam Ottavino talked about how, you know, playing for the Mets or the Rockies or the Red Sox or whatever other teams he was with, it's like, you know, we're Major League Baseball players. We have the privilege to go out there and play baseball tonight and play a child's game. Playing for the Yankees is, oh, you better go out there and play and win. And there's just an extra level of pressure and like the fans and the media. And it's like, no, you have to win. You have to succeed. You have to deliver or else. Andrew's in Shirley on the fan. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
Hanging out till 12.
Yeah, I just wanted to make, I guess, one overall Mets point and then defend Juan Soto because I love him. The Mets, I love the start. It's incredible, and like you said, it's with a lot of pieces maybe that aren't going to be, you know, really carrying this team. And Juan Soto being one of them. Mark Mantos looks pretty clueless at the plate right now, and a couple other things going wrong, and the staff's hurt. You know, obviously there's things that are going to get better. Pete Alonso's on fire. I hope that stays all season because it would be great for him and the team overall. But it's been fun so far. I'm happy with it, and the weather's been trash, so that's going to get better. The thing on Juan Soto, you know, I can't believe there's even anything negative to say about him at all. And any Yankee fan that wants to say doesn't miss him, I get you have to say that. But he's right now, we could all squarely say, hey, kind of a slow start for Juan Soto. I mean, that, we could all say that. And even with that, he has the second highest OPS on the team, already has a few go-aheads and game winners, you know, under his belt. So he's clutched up in a bit, even while he's been kind of slow. And then had a 10-game on base streak. Again, mixed into this very quote-unquote
slow start. I think he got it to 11. I think it stopped today.
Yeah, it's 11. Sorry, yeah. So 11 game.
It didn't get to 12 in the 12th game. Go on.
No, it did not. I can't wait for the weather to turn, just for my own living sake, but let alone baseball's sake. So I can't wait to see those guys come alive. I can't believe I'm in a situation where I can't wait for Jeff McNeil to return. I should never feel that way in 2025. But the second base has been pretty much, we've gotten absolutely nothing. Zero from any of the guys who have stepped up to the plate in that position. So I can't wait for that return, and should be a lot of fun. But I'm definitely not scared or have anything negative to say about our new guy, Juan Soto.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. You can't. He's your guy for the next 15 years. Give it time. It's a huge adjustment being the money man. It's a huge amount of pressure being the highest paid athlete in sports. When it gets warmer, he's going to deliver. It's funny, right? Slow start for him. It's the same way we judge Judge, right? Judge is terrible in the postseason. Well, he's just not Judge-like in the postseason because he sets the bar so high. Juan Soto has amazed us so many times when he's not an amazing Met right out of the gate, right? When he's grounding out or popping up, it's like, ah, what are we paying this guy for? This guy makes $500 every 30 seconds. Just chill. And with the Mets, though, you know, it's funny that Andrew mentions Jeff McNeil. Well, what if you get happy, Jeff? What if in this lineup, lower in the lineup, you get a version of Jeff McNeil that is clutch, that hits? I'm not saying he's going to win the batting title. I know that ship has kind of sailed. He's going to have a better batting average than Brett Beatty. You know what I'm saying? Like, even like guys like Dednil Nunez, Francisco Alvarez, them coming back, it helps. Luis Torrens, how good has Luis Torrens been for what the Cashman considerations? I know he got hurt, but like in the early part of the season, I think I was listening to Howie talk about $100,000 for this guy. Yeah, and you will eventually see some more of the young guys later in the season. I don't know, Brandon Sproat or Ronnie Mauricio or Jet Williams. I don't know, later in the season. You will make moves at the deadline. But so far, so good. The Mets have enough talent where everybody was screaming about they need this, they need that. They didn't spend on pitching. Their pitching lab works. And I was talking about Jeremy Hefner. I don't know if you guys watched Dexter's Lab. I was always a Dexter's Lab guy. Love Mandark. You know that, right, Nick? Nick at Night, of course. You watch Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah, it takes me back.
It was Cartoon Network, though. Jeremy Hefner's laboratory. Like, it's a real thing. This pitching lab is a real thing. Anybody that goes into it comes out better. 888-808-1019. Philip is in Astoria, Queens, next up on the Fan. What's up, Phil?
How's it flowing? Listen, I'm a Yanks fan growing up, but I was at the Mets game today, and it's pretty slow, but beautiful ballpark, beautiful game. I got to say, you know, it's funny growing up. It's funny. I grew up in Queens, but I grew up a Yanks fan. I think that happened because my grandpa was a Brooklyn Dodgers, and then there was a few years where it was kind of up in the air which way it would go. But I'll tell you what, and I wonder if the other New Yorkers in this position, you kind of got a mind for the Yankees maybe, and a little bit of a heart for the Mets. You know what I'm saying? But it was a slow game, and then it kind of went the other way. But I'm pulling for the Yankees, but I got to admit, I'm always rooting for the Mets at the same time. When it's a Subway Series, my heart is singing. So let's hope for that this year, huh?
I don't need it, but thanks for the call, Philip. 888-808-1019. I know there's maybe 10% of New York baseball fans that are, you know, rooting for New York. We get calls into WFAN like that every week. You know, I don't hate the Mets, and that's my line. I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets. I start to see people use that on Twitter. And when I say that, we'll go back to what he was just talking about. But when I say I don't hate the Mets, I don't hate the team. I like a lot of players on the team. I like a guy. I like what Ryan Stanek looks like coming out of the bullpen. I like what I've seen out of Max Kranich. You know, I think Brandon Nimmo is a baller. I've never said a bad word about Pete Alonso. You can go back and check the tapes. Juan Soto, I don't know how many times I got to say, we wanted Juan Soto on the Yankees. Juan Soto is one of the best players in baseball. Lindor should have won MVP over Ohtani. I don't hate the Mets. And growing up a Yankee fan, I used to skip past SNY. Growing up a Yankee fan, I wasn't reading the Mets box score. Growing up a Yankee fan, I wasn't checking for the Mets. 4 seasons on the Fan, I have watched more Mets games in 4 years than I did in 30. So truly, these are my Mets. I know more about them than I know about David Wright's Mets. I know more about them than I know about, you know, Carlos Beltran or Franco, or I don't even know, R.A. Dickey's Mets, Lucas Duda's Mets. What gets me going sometimes and what I lean into with the rivalry is, you know, the anonymous Mets fans who have, you know, still have a Noah Syndergaard as their profile picture on on Twitter. And it's just, it's fun. It's back and forth. I like to play into it. But as far as now, with 12 games into the season, there is enough to talk about where we don't have to go back and forth. Now, what Phil was just talking about, you know, I live in Queens. I grew up in Queens, but probably in the era that he grew up in, watching the Yankees run in the 90s, he became a Yankees fan. But he went to the Mets game today, and I don't know, are you the type of Yankees fan that showed up with Yankees apparel on? I would not show up to Citi Field if the Yankees are not playing with the Yankee hat on. I'm not looking for that kind of attention. But again, when I break it down, let's say out of 100% of fans, let's say 10% of those baseball fans in New York care for both teams, just want to see New York win. And we are thirsty. It's been almost 40 years since the Mets won a World Series. And hell, it might as well be almost half as long. It might as well be 20 years since the Yankees won one. 888-808-1019. I know the Yankees got there. It's been a year, not even. It's been like 5-6 months since the Yankees, you know, were in the World Series. And, you know, it's been a decade since the Mets were in the World Series. But who cares about being in it? You know, I'm wearing my World Series hat right now. And as I look at it more and more, I'm like, I used to think I wouldn't want to see the World Series logo, but I don't mind looking at the World Series logo because I got to go, and it was recent. It's fresh. This is a fresh hat still. But, man, we're starving for a parade. And so I know there's 10% of fans, and then let's say the 90% is 45 Mets fans that are, no, I'm a Met fan. I hate the Yankees. All right, not even. Let's say there's 40% of those fans are, I'm a Mets fan. I hate the Yankees, and 5% that are like, I'm a Mets fan. I don't even think about the Yankees. And then the same thing on the other side. But who knows? It changes week to week, you know? It changes. As the Yankees are struggling, there's a Met fan that's like, look at them striking out. Where are the torpedo bats now? Oh, they need Juan Soto. They shouldn't have shaved their beards. But as the Yankees are winning, there's a Met fan that's like, oh, man, here we go. We're going to be second fiddle to the Yankees again. They've got Judge. They've got a deeper lineup. They're getting by with Will Warren and Carlos Carrasco. And I don't know. Call me up and tell me which one you are. 888-808-1019. I can sneak in another call right here, Nick, before we break. Yes. My guy Alex in Lakewood back on the fan. What you got, kid?
What's up, Keith? So about just what you were talking about, I'm only like, when I'm anti-Mets is when a Mets fan is just talking garbage to me. When I'm rooting for the Mets is when the Mets fan knows the Yankees are better, like last year, so I don't care to root for them.
Understood. It does, like, and you're a young guy, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not a young guy anymore, but I do see some of these young Mets fans and the way that they approach me on the internet, and I'm just like, these guys live in la-la land. They haven't seen anything, haven't won anything. At least I can go back in time. I have pictures. I have memories to be like, nah, yeah, I remember us winning this year.
What's up with no one's talking about the NFL draft? It's already an hour and a half into your show.
No, I will. That's what we're going to do.
It's 2 weeks away.
I know. I've got it lined up for after 10. I just figured the first 3 hours here we would hit Yanks, Mets, and some Knicks.
Yeah,
I see a call. Nick in Middlesex County, he's on the same vibe you're on, Alex, and I've got some thoughts and takes on what the Giants and Jets should do.
Baseball season just started. It's not even hot.
But this is New York, buddy. This is New York. This is the capital of baseball. These people care.
Well, this is the capital of hype in football that never comes through.
Yeah, the teams aren't good. We have two good baseball teams, in my humble opinion.
And zero good basketball teams.
They're a third-ranked team in the East. They're one of the top teams. They're going to run into a wall, and we know that.
They're not going anywhere. They have so much flaws on the team. And if you're not playing Mitchell Robinson, who's your defender? If you play one solid big man, you're
OG.
Not winning. What? He can't play a seven-footer.
You're only saying that because you're a Bucks Giannis fan. So you're looking ahead to that potential matchup and, like, how are the Knicks going to defend Giannis? No one really can stop Giannis. LeBron said if he played in the 60s, 70s, he dropped 250 a game. I'm like, 250? That's ridiculous.
Yep, Keith. The Bucks have, like, 4'6", 10 and up guys. The Knicks have 2.
I know. Someone called me last night saying that they should trade for Desmond Bain, and I'm like, Desmond Bain, like, you don't need another shooter, another scorer. You need some defenders.
What's his name? Jericho Sims. And then when he came over to the Bucks before he got injured, he was playing very good.
Yeah, well, they didn't need Jericho Sims. It was time to move on from him.
Well, even if you could guard Giannis, let's just put it that way. Who's guarding Brook Lopez? If you're guarding Giannis, you're doubling him. Who's guarding Damian Lillard? Who's going to be back for the playoffs? There's way too much options. But the Knicks have 5 options.
Yeah, who's stopping Bobby Portis and Kevin Porter Jr.?
Kyle Kuzma sucks, but that's a different story.
Kyle Kuzma. I almost forget that he's on that team.
Well, last night he didn't play the whole last part of the game, and that's when they went on their run. So
forgettable, yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Alex. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break here. When we come back, I will sprinkle in some of the NFL stuff a little ahead of my own schedule, but who cares? We're talking Mets, we're talking Yankees, and we do got to talk about the Giants and Jets draft and just where both franchises are with 2 weeks to go before they make picks that have to impact winning this year. Both teams have to pick a player that is on the field helping them win in 2025. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back. Right back at it on The Fan in New York as we proceed to give you what you need. 888-808-1019. I said I was going to sprinkle in some conversation around the Jets and the Giants. Kind of tease that going into the break. And, you know, what I feel is you got to take the best player available, but you also have to fill a need. Here we are again with these teams both picking in the top 10. You don't want to be picking in the top 10 next year. 888-808-1019. The Giants are literally picking for their lives. The Giants are not taking Shedeur Sanders. And it's funny because there was a lot of time that we spent saying, they got to get a quarterback, they got to get a quarterback, they got to get a quarterback. But it could be a mistake just to take a quarterback because you haven't taken a quarterback. Could have taken one last year. Bo Nix was there. Michael Penix Jr. was there. They didn't. Now they're in a position where they need to win, and they need a player that can impact winning. They are not a quarterback away, and they signed 2 veteran quarterbacks. I was reading an article in SI today. It said, adding veteran quarterbacks into the fold doesn't entirely take the Giants out of taking a quarterback at number 3, but certainly makes it more likely that the franchise will use the pick elsewhere. And there's some things about the way the contracts are structured for Jameis Winston and Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, where it's like, these are your quarterbacks, and then Tommy DeVito as a third. And maybe if there is a quarterback that drops that they want to take a flyer on, like I was seeing Dan Orlovsky suggest Jalen Milroe be picked, but I don't think Jalen Milroe is going to really fall. Like, the Giants have so many picks in the top, I think 100 picks, where like those can be players that impact winning. Those have to be players that impact winning. And last year you hit on the rookies that you chose. You have to hit again. 888-808-1019. We'll get the conversation started on the draft a little bit. Still talking Yankees, still talking Devin Williams, still talking Mets, and I don't know, Brett Beatty and overcoming Brett Beatty and not really, you know, needing to move on from Brett Beatty early on in the season because the Mets are winning. But here's this little blurb that came from SI. Wilson has a $10.5 million incentive package, and $8 million of it requires him to play more than half of the team's snaps next season. The other $2.5 million is based on his stats accumulated through his play. Jameis Winston, meanwhile, has $4 million in incentives in his contract that begin to kick in once he reaches 43% of playing time. There's $250,000 in incentives for Winston at 43%, 50%, 60%, 70% of playing time, 15-plus touchdowns, and an 88 passer rating, 2,200 yards, and an 88 passer rating, and $500,000 for 50% of the snaps and reaching the playoffs, 70% and reaching the playoffs, 55% playing time in a playoff win, yada, yada, yada. Basically, what it's saying is Russell Wilson is your number one. That's QB1. He's going to get the first crack at it. And if he stays healthy and does not give up the job to Jameis because of getting benched, poor performance, he can make $8 million in incentives. But Jameis's whole contract is waiting in the wings. Jameis's whole contract is in the event that Russell Wilson goes down or he sucks, and then Jameis gets the reins and can make the rest of the money or make the money the rest of the way. 888-808-1019. Nick is in Middlesex County on the Fan. What's up, Nick?
Hey, my thing is, I think the Giants went the whole completely wrong way. They signed Russell Wilson. I do like the Jameis Winston signing. But a big guy that was out there was Milton from New England. They seemed like they did not want him at all. They gave him nothing. But why are you going to sign a veteran quarterback who's been declining ever since he left the Seahawks? But you're going to load up on this young kid who's got a cannon for an arm. As a Giants fan, I haven't seen a quarterback throw over 20 touchdowns since Eli Manning. Daniel Jones, he hasn't done nothing.
Yeah,
I want to see touchdowns.
You're getting two guys that can throw the ball downfield and throw touchdowns. They did it last year. As far as Joe Milton, I don't think anybody knew that the Dallas Cowboys were working on that the way that they were. And, I mean, that is the one move in recent time that the Dallas Cowboys have made where I said, wow, a smart move. You don't have a backup quarterback, and now you get one of the, you know, guys that could potentially be, like, a good quarterback in this league, a successor to Dak Prescott. I don't think that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have time for a Joe Milton project. That's why I stress the urgency of winning right now, competing right now. They were ahead of schedule a couple years back because they were able to compete in those tight games and steal those tight games, and that's how they got to the playoffs and won a game. Like, it was defense, it was running the ball, and making enough throws. Now you have Malik Nabers. Now you have guys like Tyrone Tracy, Theo Johnson, Slayton is back. Who knows who they add here in the draft, but like, they got to play defense and actually have an offense that scores points, and nobody can predict the NFL. They have the toughest strength of schedule, yes. They have the longest odds to the Super Bowl, yes. But that doesn't mean anything once you strap the helmets up and they blow that whistle. Like, I think what they did was say, okay, we cannot hitch our wagon to a rookie quarterback. That is not going to give us longevity. That is not going to buy us time. Winning is what's going to buy us time. And we might not be wild about Shedeur Sanders after looking at him all year and hearing all about how, you know, he's not graded as a top guy. So let's pass on this. Let's go get two proven starters in this league that will literally change the culture of the locker room, the quarterback room, the film room, practices. And they'll look like actual, like you had to watch Tim Boyle last year, Drew Locke last year. Jameis and Russell Wilson are much better than the quarterbacks that you've had in the last few years.
No, I agree. But also, I think Milton has a lot more experience. Daboll is known to be the quarterback.
You said Milton has a lot more experience?
I'd like to see him work with Milton, Daboll, and Bolton.
Thanks for the call, Nick. I'll go backwards. The whole reason that, or at least from what I read, the whole reason that they got rid of Milton was because he just came in last year as a rookie with Drake May. They got him in the sixth round. They drafted Drake May third overall. And Milton, Bazooka Joe Milton, for the Dallas Cowboys now, said his mom's a Dallas Cowboys fan, his family are Dallas Cowboys fan. They even traded him to a destination, right? So you can't even put it on the Giants. We don't know if the Giants checked on it and he didn't want to be a Giant. They traded him to a destination that he wanted to go to. They basically did him a solid because they saw his talent in that last game of the season and they heard him say, I'm going to give this guy a run for my money. Basically, what Milton was saying was like, he's going to challenge Drake May. And they don't want that. That's their franchise quarterback. They brought in Josh Dobbs, and they traded this kid away. And this new regime is going to take the pick they got. I'm trying to find in my notes. I forget what day that was. I think it happened over a weekend, and we came back in. I don't remember I'll find it, the compensation. I know I was happy about it that they didn't give up a fourth-round pick for him like they gave up for Trey Lance. But just get Joe Milton out of your head. Just get, if you're a Giants fan, get Joe Milton out of your head. Because not for nothing, Like, you might be seeing him sooner rather than later. Dak Prescott is hurt every year. you might be facing off against Joe Milton when the schedule comes out. You might have to see Joe Milton on Thanksgiving or week one if Dak doesn't make it through camp. John is in Wayne, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Good to talk to you again. I still got a little anxiety from that Yankee game this afternoon, but let's talk about the Giants for a second. You know, looking at the top of the draft, you know, think what you want about Sanders, think what you want about Ward. I think everyone's probably in agreement that Ward won't be there at three. But you think about the position Shane's in, you think about the position Dable's in, and to your point, they're both, they're coaching and they're GMing for their lives, and they knew they had the number three pick. They know Cleveland's got $200 million guaranteed wrapped up in the worst quarterback in football. There's a reason they went out and got Winston, and there's a reason they went out and got Russell Wilson. And for me as a Giants fan, that tells me a lot about what they think about the quarterbacks at the top of the draft, at least the ones that will be attainable. Football's a team sport. I know you played football, and you would probably agree that football's a team sport. They got so many holes to address. Me personally, I think the move is to probably trade down, stockpile a couple picks, and who knows, maybe even trade down again in the first round and continue to stockpile those picks. Because when you look at it and you think about some of the quarterbacks that are taken that have had some success, you look at Russell Wilson, you look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, and I know anyone can call the Fan and be like, hey, I had these guys on my radar, but I would tell you that, you know, I do watch college football. Russell Wilson, 4-year starter, two different big programs, winning pedigree. Jalen Hurts, same exact thing. And when I look at a guy like Jalen Milroe, and I know there's holes in his game, and I know there's, you know, they're coming off Alabama's worst season in probably 15 years, I see a lot of Russell Wilson in a guy like Jalen Milroe. I see a lot of Jalen Hurts in a guy like Milroe. So long story short, Keith, and tell me whether you agree or disagree, I don't think Sanders is a guy at three. I think there's more holes to be addressed before they go and get a guy like Sanders, kind of like how the Chiefs had Mahomes all set up for everything that they needed and then were able to inject that quarterback. I think the move is to trade back. I don't know that Carter's a guy, but I also don't think Sanders is a guy. And I think the Giants, like I said, the guys that are basically playing for their lives in Shane and Dable have probably looked themselves in the mirror and said, yeah, Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, that tandem gives us a better chance to win now, which is good. And I think the Giants fans deserve to see a little bit of winning. I think it's unrealistic to think we're going to go from 3 wins to 13 wins overnight, and there's a process to things. Like, as a Knicks fan, the first thing that Tom Thibodeau needed to do was establish credibility for the team, and they're going to make the playoffs 3 years in a row. So let's not think about the Super Bowl. Let's think about getting a foundation underneath us and then maybe attacking that quarterback position at the end. But I appreciate the time, Keith, and I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Thanks for the call, John. When I heard that Brian Dable was at Penn State in Happy Valley having breakfast with Abdul Carter, I'm like, okay, now they're getting Abdul Carter with the third overall pick. Or is this a typical smokescreen that happens 2-3 weeks before the draft where anybody that really wants Abdul Carter will trade up for him? You don't necessarily need Abdul Carter after you just went and paid Brian Burns all that money and you drafted Kayvon Thibodeau 3 years ago. I think it would be his fourth season. Do you need to draft Abdul Carter? Oh, Keith, you remember what they did? You know, they had Justin Tuck and they had Michael Strahan. They added O.C. Umenor, and then they got JPP. Yeah, I get that. You got to rush the passer. But you also, you know, make these like appearances and things that help you have leverage. I think trading back is smart. You're out of the quarterback thing now. You had a 6 overall pick. You got Malik Nabers. And there was just an article about how the Arizona Cardinals regret not drafting Malik Nabers. Of course, when you see what he is versus Marvin Harrison Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr. looks like he's in quicksand. He's a good player, but like, you want to talk about an explosive playmaker, game changer? Like, people in the NFL are looking at Malik Nabers like the next Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase just won the Triple Crown. He might be better than him. That was his comp. 888-808-1019. So if you're the Giants, maybe you make it look like you're going to take Abdul Carter. And then we heard about Brian Dable not going to Pro Day at Colorado, where there are two players that you could take at three, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. Maybe they're not interested in either one. Travis Hunter seems hell-bent on playing both positions in the NFL. He said that when Roger Goodell calls his name, he should announce him as wide receiver cornerback Travis Hunter, University of Colorado. Colorado University. I think the Giants are probably like, listen, kid, We're not going to try that right away. We need to win. We can't be doing experiments. We need to put you in one place and maximize you, get the most. I listened to Dable talk about how like impressive it is that he does that with no rest. But Dable's been around the NFL for a long time. He's seen freak athletes, speed, strength, stamina. It is hard to play corner and then flip around and play receiver. I'm not saying that Travis Hunter can't do it, but I'm saying that the Giants might not be interested in being the place that he attempts to do it. Let's go to Teddy in Yonkers on the Fan. Teddy, what you thinking about?
How you doing, Keith? Keith, you're great, and I love listening to you because you're very calm, but you make your points very clear. I'm concerned, and maybe I shouldn't be, Keith. That's why I'm asking you to calm my nerves. I don't want to be paranoid about the Yankees situation with Williams' second relief appearance, I believe. I'm not sure. I know the first one, we survived that shaky night that he had in which we got the win. But today, a 4-0 lead, bottom of the ninth, three, pitch masterful. And, you know, made it close. He had to take him out and bring in Leiter. Are you concerned or is it the cold weather? He has to get acclimated and he will be okay. And I'd like to get your opinion.
Thanks for the call and the compliments, Teddy. Of course I'm concerned. That's your closer. He's not looking like a closer right now. But my concern level is a 4 out of 10. My concern level is a 4 out of 10 because, like I said, it's not like this guy wasn't just gone. He was on paternity leave. His life just changed drastically. He had a kid. And as someone who's, you know, preparing to celebrate my son's second birthday on Sunday, I know how different my life is in 2 years. The time has flown by. I know how different a person I am, how life completely changed in that first week, month, year, 2 years. He's adjusting to that. His girl is now the mother of his child. She's still recovering from that. And like, I'm not trying to get all in his business, and we don't need to know his business. People need to mind their business more with these athletes and their paternity leaves. But I'm saying I have some grace. I have some empathy for that situation where I'm like, okay, the guy wasn't lights out. And I got to meet the guy. And like, I played the little clip of him talking. He's soft-spoken. He's mild-mannered. And he said himself, yeah, I just got to get into a rhythm. It's hard to get into a rhythm when you rejoin the team in Pittsburgh. They don't need you in those first couple games. And then when they do need you, you have to fight Manfred's man on second. Tommy Pham hits the ball to a warning track. Runner scoring. Okay, it's tough. And like even the start before that, not start, the appearance before that, the save before that, it started off on a bad foot. What do you throw, 36 pitches in Yankee Stadium on opening day? He was being booed. I got on here, I said there was like an 8-9-year-old kid in front of me booing him. I'm like, come on, bro, chill. We need this guy. Don't boo him. But we eat our own. We're so ready to throw guys out after we had to deal with Clay Holmes, after we had to deal with Aroldis Chapman. And I guess it's easier to throw out a Devin Williams because of the existence of Luke Weaver. But nah, leave Luke Weaver in the eighth. We need them both. We need them both. And if I go back to, you know, and can we give Boone some credit? I know we never do that. Give Boone some credit for saying, hey, we can't blow this game. We cannot be swept in a walk-off. He's wasting too many bullets. Get him out. Mark Leiter Jr., come get this last out. But what I'm saying, when I was watching the game, and I got to go back to my notes and even the box score, he was trying to set that changeup up. He was missing. He was pulling the ball. It was so far. The batters were just sitting there. We'll talk more about it. And when we come back, I'll give you my food poisoning story. Since, you know, Cody Bellinger, that's another thing. Shout out to Boone. I wouldn't have Belly in the lineup. I know you're facing a righty, and you might want to, you know, Belly's one of the better hitters, but like Belly had the food poisoning. I would say, hey man, don't worry about it. We're gonna get you home, and you'll be ready for Friday. Okay, we got a break. 888-808-1019. KM to AM returns right after this.